Welcome to Shoot the Flick. I'm Frankie Sparks.
And I'm Scott Eisenberg.
And we are a married couple who like to shoot the shit about movies.
That we do. That we do. And we are finishing up Rocky Month.
Woo!
On a high note, I would like to say.
I would also say that, too.
We watched Rocky Balboa.
Released in 2006.
Rocky Balboa, I think, is a true return to form for the Rocky franchise.
Yes. Is it schmaltzy at times?
Yes. Of course.
Super duper. But I feel like this is like the legacy sequel to start all legacy sequels before we even knew what a legacy sequel was.
Yeah, you could say that.
Which entitles you to be a little schmaltzy. And I gotta say, I was pleasantly surprised how much I bought into the schmaltz.
But in the same breath, I feel like a problem with a lot of legacy sequels is the character doesn't usually feel like the character anymore. Rocky still feels the same.
Yes, Rocky still feels like Rocky in this, for sure. I think that's the one thing that has kept this franchise going, despite its missteps and things and, you know, stuff we've complained about from other movies. Rocky has always been Rocky, so we've always been intrigued enough by his story to continue with it. And the fact that they thought at the time this was going to be the last time we saw Rocky is very evident watching this film.
Yeah, and you know what? If it was, that would have been okay.
It would have been okay.
But, you know,
he fucking disappears into nothingness at the end.
He does.
He literally just vanishes. And I'm like, what was that? We're going to talk about the end. The end was a trip. But, yeah.
I think that was just bad camera decisions.
No. Editing. I think they did that purposely to be like, so long, Rock. See ya. He was going off into the afterlife or something. I'm pretty sure that was the intention.
Well, I don't know. Well, we get two other movies with him after this, so.
Well, they didn't know that at the time, is what I'm saying. Well, so at the time, they were like, this is our farewell to Rocky. I guess we should just end it with him going off into the afterlife in a fade out, in like a dissolve. Like, not the screen didn't dissolve. I want to make that clear. Just Rocky dissolved, which I was like, what? And now, knowing that that movie is not the end of Rocky, we still have that as the ending to this movie, implying that he's dead? I don't know.
But yeah, Rocky Balboa, it feels right. Everything feels like it works with this franchise.
Indeed. Stallone, who wrote and directed this movie, he really is kind of a master at the capturing of that 80s, 70s nostalgia. Because this is 30 years after the original Rocky, 16 years after Rocky V. So, you know, we all thought we were long since done with Rocky Balboa. And Stallone came out of the woodwork and gave us this movie, which I am actually really appreciative of, that this is the last movie of the Rocky franchise. But yeah, he also wrote and directed a Rambo sequel 2 years after this, which was also like a couple of decades after the last Rambo movie. And then you got like the Expendables franchise. Like, he's really good at capturing that golden era of the 80s action movie.
Well,
and bringing it back.
He is, but I also want to talk about, I think before this movie, I think Stallone's career was in a rock and a hard place.
Like, oh,
he
yes.
He was...
How ironic.
Yeah, exactly.
But I do have some of the Stallone movies that he made between Rocky's 5 and 6. Would you like me to name some?
Yes, name
them. Sure, we got Cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Demolition Man.
Yeah.
Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Yeah, thanks Schwarzenegger.
Spy Kids 3. So we got a lot of real heavy hitters in there.
Yeah. well, Stallone bought into his own hype.
Sure.
And I think it was Rocky Balboa that changed his course. Because I think somewhere in between Rocky V and Rocky Balboa, I think he learned to express certain emotions well. And I feel like he really gets the emotional side of Rocky down here.
Yeah. I mean, I said it while we were watching it, because I knew that Stallone was nominated for an Oscar for one of the more modern Rocky movies, but I know now that it was for Creed, but I thought for a second that it was for this, because I'm actually really surprised that he didn't get an Oscar nomination for this. Not just considering the fact that it, at the time, was considered the last Rocky movie and the original Rocky was such a big deal, but, like, his performance in this is honestly, it's arguably better than the original. And I don't mean, like, the movie in general. I just mean the performance from Stallone is arguably better than the original.
Well, I think the first Rocky is a better movie.
Yes, but I would agree with that.
It's got the better antagonist. It's got the better underdog story. It's a better movie as a whole. Rocky Balboa, I think, is a better performance.
Okay, yeah. I would say that that's probably a fair assessment.
Because Stallone, A, is no longer a fresh-faced newbie. When this movie came out, he had been in the business basically 30 years. I think that's where we get with, like, Rocky Balboa, and even this Rambo movie that comes out right after this, is also a similar deal with the age and the feeling of emotions and trying to leave a mark on this world, even when it, you know, the world is like, hey, we're done with you.
I think we mentioned it last time that Adrian is not in this movie, Talia Shire. Her character is deceased. She died in between 5 and 6. This movie starts with sort of a memorial tour of Adrian's life with Rocky. And you can tell, like, it's, you know, going through their greatest hits. And essentially, that's what this movie is. We're kind of hitting all of Rocky's highlights while also really doing a good job at ending the story. It's clear that the Rocky story is wrapping up here, and it's sort of a reunion tour, in a sense. I almost feel like if you just watched the first Rocky and this one, it would still all make sense and maybe not be as emotionally profound because you wouldn't have all of the history with Rocky, but I feel like you could still get the same gist out of it with just the original and this one.
Well, I think if you watch the original number 2 and then this one, actually, and even throw in Rocky 3. If you've watched those 3 and then this one, I think you get the full embrace of what Rocky is.
You just don't want to watch 4 and 5 again.
It's not even just that. Like, 4 and 5 are the weakest of the series. But you get the sense, because 1 is, you get the tie with Apollo. 2, you get him actually winning the title and completing the underdog story. So you at least have to watch those two to get into Balboa. But 3, you get him losing the title and winning it back and Mickey dying. And there's some moments with Mickey here in, like, flashback, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, it was funny. Mickey showed up again in this one, too. I'm like, God damn, just let this man rest in peace. Jesus Christ.
Well, Mickey is an important figure in Rocky's life. Without Mickey, Rocky doesn't become Rocky.
I get it, but, I mean, obviously Adrian is the main thrust of the movie for a character that isn't there, like, kind of propelling Rocky forward. Which, I mean, I feel like I've said throughout the entire series that Adrian is really, like, the heart of the movie, like, their relationship, and it's really brought home in this movie in a big way, and I really liked that a lot.
Well, yeah, you feel bad for Rocky.
He has a couple of real moments in this. I mean, yeah, he's like goofy Rocky, right? Like, he does goofy stuff and he does the voice, you know, yo.
But he's always done that.
But, like, he has genuine, like, moments here where he breaks your heart. And I'm like, oh my God, like, how did he not get an Oscar nomination for this? Like, that's insane.
Like, him sitting in front of Adrian's grave.
Oh my God.
Because he does it
in the beginning. He's sitting, like, in front of her grave, just, like, chilling with her. And it's like, oh my God, he misses her so much.
You feel it. Like, and it's subtle. And Stallone does a great job with the subtlety in this movie.
That's the thing. I mean, we just said this, I think, in Rocky IV. None of the Rocky movies are especially subtle, but this one it's more like toned down. It's there's no 80s cheese to be had here.
No.
Like, it's still got lighthearted moments and
of
stuff.
Of course.
But yeah, there's no cheese to be had here. We are dairy free in this episode. I mean, we looked at the Oscar noms for actor for this year, and there's some like decent ones, but yeah, the fact that this movie came and went, I was not an Oscar connoisseur back in 2006, 2007, but I'm willing to put money on it now, put my stamp of approval that Sly Stallone was snubbed for the Oscars that year.
Yeah, definitely. Again, I'm not saying he deserved to win, because Last King of Scotland with Forest Whitaker won this year.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's an all-time performance for Forest Whitaker, but
a nomination would have been nice.
Yes.
But this was supposed to be originally even more so of a Rocky reunion tour. Originally, there was supposed to be other cameos. Clubber Lang was supposed to be a ringside commentator showing up at some point. Instead, we got Mike Tyson randomly at the end of the movie talking shit, which was kind of random and funny. But also, I found this really interesting. There was supposed to be a scene where Rocky goes to visit Drago in the hospital because he's apparently dying from complications due to steroid abuse. And Rocky was supposed to go and visit him, and then as he's leaving, tell the nurse, if he dies, he dies. Which is a little on the nose, but like, would I have liked to see that? Yeah, kind of. But like, I get why they cut it, because it's like, okay, that's a little too much. Like, let's focus on the heart of the cards here. Let's focus on our boy Rock, which I think is good.
Yeah, this is a Rocky story.
Yeah, but it is kind of funny thinking about, like, what could have possibly been. Like, we would have had just, a complete parade of, like, we would have had the ghost of fucking Apollo Creed coming back.
This is a Rocky story. You don't need Clubber. You don't need Drago. You don't need Tommy Guns.
It was perfect. Well, yeah, no one, I mean, sorry to say, but no one wanted Tommy Gunn to come back.
Like,
I mean, poor guy. He did his best. It wasn't even his fault.
No, it wasn't his fault.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited to talk about this.
Me too. So shall we get into the nitty and the gritty?
Let's do it, Scott. I'm excited. And I'm like genuinely bummed. I mean, I knew this was the last movie in the franchise, but like, it still bummed me out so bad.
Yeah. And it ends on such a high note for these six movies, and I think it wraps it all up together in a nice bow. But we start our movie with the Rocky chants. You get all the people chanting, Rocky, Rocky. And it's just a nice wave to get you back into it.
Don't forget about Frank Stallone's return.
Yes.
Take it back. Take it back. I gasped when because it's in the original movie, of course. The Frank Stallone standard, the doo-wop, you know, doo-wop trash can crew from the first movie. I was like, oh, they brought back the song. It was very cool.
Before we get into Rocky's story, we meet our nemesis of the movie. We meet Mason the Line Dixon,
played by Antonio Tarver, who is or was a successful professional boxer at the time.
And Tarver does a good job for not being an actor. Like, they don't give him a whole lot, but they give him enough where I feel like he does a decent enough job.
I was expecting his character to be painted as, like, a real asshole. And, like, he has dickish moments, but he's not, like, they do just enough with him. They give him kind of, like, a Mickey surrogate kind of guy where he's like his, you know, at-home trainer and he cares about Mason, and then he's got like the asshole fucking managers that are just out for the money and blah blah blah. So they give him enough where you can get by, but it's not really about him. So
he's a mixture of Apollo and Tommy Gunn.
Yeah, it felt like they were trying to make him like a baby Apollo sort of.
Well, because he's got the speed like Apollo, and the trash talking, but he's like...
Yeah, I was going to say, he's got like a big head. Not as big as Apollo. I mean, Apollo was like, you know, the man.
Apollo was the man, but
he's... But this guy wants to be the man.
Oh, yeah, he does. But he's also like Tommy, where he hasn't proven himself. He just knocks everybody out and just moves on.
Yeah, his narrative in like the sports world is that he's the champ, but he's never faced a real like opponent that's on his level. So no one really respects him as like a real legitimate fighter. And the premise, I'll say this, the premise of the movie that gets these two guys to fight each other is kind of dumb. Like, it kind of comes off like a fan fiction almost. Like, it's like right on the line of fanfic. But I honestly will say, because it's Rocky, you get over it. At least I did. I was just like, okay, fine. This is what we're doing. Cool. Whatever. Let's do it.
So Rocky wakes up alone with his two turtles.
Oh my God. This killed me, man.
He's having a rough time. He goes to Adrienne's grave.
Yeah, she died of woman cancer, which is the line that is said in the movie when someone asks about Adrienne. It's fine. It's fine.
Rocky's not a smart man.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. But yeah, like, and I knew going into this that Adrienne was dead, right? So I was mentally prepared, or so I thought, to experience life for Rocky post Adrienne. But like, I wasn't ready. I was just so incredibly sad, because it felt like this guy was just, he like a piece of him was missing. Like, it just, you really felt that.
I think what he does so well in this movie with the Adrienne stuff, with the restaurant he now owns that is called Adrienne's, he can't move on.
Yeah. It really comes up because he's at this restaurant every night and he's like going around, you know, to different patrons, like taking pictures and like telling stories of the good old days. And I, at one point, like, I'm watching that and I'm like, oh, this must be what Stallone deals with all the time. Like, this must be Stallone's life. Like, he, you know, he goes around to all his friends or whatever and like people that idolize him because he's Sly Stallone, and he just tells stories of the glory days. And that's what it felt like.
He does so well being locked into this point in time. Like, it almost feels like his heart has been ripped out of his chest and he's just going through the motions of day-to-day life. But when we're at Adrienne's grave, we also find out this is the anniversary of her death. And right behind Rocky is Paulie.
Played by Burt Young, who was nominated for a Stinker's Bad Movie Award for this. I don't think that's fair. I think they did it just because it's Paulie, and Paulie's a dick. And he is. Like, in this movie, he is still a dick. And it's, like, actually, it's comical at this point. Because they have him, again, be a dick for 90% of the movie, and then almost the same thing as in Rocky IV at the very last minute before he goes in for his big fight. They give him a moment where he's like nice and he's like, I love you, Rocky. And it's like, God damn it, why are you doing this? They keep trying to make Paulie like a good guy at the end, and it never sticks.
Well, I don't think Paulie's as much of a dick in this movie. I think, yes, the Stinker's Bad Movie,
he's a dick.
He's always been an asshole. But yes. Like, Paulie's one of those people who can't get out of his own fucking way.
Yes, and he can't regulate his emotions at all.
No, like, he's one of those people that you go, Paulie can identify the right decision and the wrong decision and will always make the wrong decision. And that's kind of who he is as a person.
Yeah, and like, here's the thing. Because I think they were going to do even more with this in the movie from what I read. But they did this one part in the movie that I really appreciated early on where, like I said earlier, Rocky kind of goes on this highlight tour around the neighborhood of like the places where Adrienne and him had their best times. Like, they went to the ice rink that got torn down from the first movie, and they got the pet store that Adrienne worked at and all this stuff. It's been a couple of years since she passed, but Rocky still wants to do this like tour every time. And the whole time, Paulie's acting like an asshole, like, are we done yet? Da, 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 da. And then at the end, he's just like, I can't do this anymore. You had good times with my sister because y'all loved each other and all that. I treated my sister like shit, And now I have to remember it all the time. We do this every fucking year. We go to all these places, Adrian and you went. I can't take it anymore. It's eating him up. And it's like, oh, wow. We're actually acknowledging the fact that he was a bad brother and a piece of shit to Adrian. And now she's gone and he can't make it right. So it's like, I mean, throughout the whole series, you kind of get glimpses of Paulie kind of like in a shit storm of his life while Rocky is always succeeding one way or another. So it's interesting to see that dichotomy, but also they always stick together. Like Paulie never abandons Rocky and Rocky never abandons him. So I guess there's something good to be said there.
Well, I also think it's because Paulie knows that without Rocky, he'd probably be dead in a ditch somewhere.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think even though Paulie is a terrible human being for most of this series.
Yes.
Which he is.
Yes.
He is extremely loyal to Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
Because as he says, I think in the last movie or the movie before, either it's four or five, he goes, most people would have dropped me.
Yeah, that was the one moment he acted like a dick the whole time. And at the end, he's like, he has a nice moment. Do I actually feel bad for Paulie? What is this?
Yeah, you start to make the turn at four with Paulie.
And yeah, it was kind of the same in this movie where, like, I actually thought at one point they were going to try to make Paulie turn on Rocky, because there's one point later in the movie where, like, Paulie loses his job and he goes to the restaurant and he fucking is being the belligerent asshole and just, you know, being whatever his normal Paulie self. And then they have this like talk in this alleyway behind the restaurant. And then he walks away, Paulie. And I'm like, is that the last time we're going to see Paulie? And Scott's like, no, no, no. And I'm like, it just seemed like a very final conversation. And in that moment when I thought like, oh, is Paulie leaving Rocky? I got like scared. I'm like, wait, is this how we're gonna end? Like, what? But I get, yeah, I mean, listen, Burt Young does a good job at playing an asshole, that not even a lovable asshole. No. Just an asshole.
He's a depressed racist.
At one point Rocky's like, oh, there's something, he says something about how the restaurant is special, Adrian's, and Paulie goes, Italian food being made by Mexicans ain't so special. And I'm like, bro, what the fuck?
Yeah, again, Paulie is not a good guy.
He's an asshole. But for some reason, you still care that he's fucking around. It's like, God damn it. How'd this guy do it?
Again, it's because there's a wall of shit with Paulie.
Yeah.
And the only person who has ever penetrated that wall of shit
is Rocky. He's got that magic touch, man.
Besides him, everybody Paulie interacts with would be like, dude, this dude is not worth the fucking time.
And not for nothing, Adrian. Because Adrian, despite the fact that Paulie treated her like horse shit the whole goddamn series, still fucking was down for Paulie.
Yeah. As Rocky says, she loved you. She always loved you.
Oh my God, what a shit. But yeah. And also he paints dogs.
Yeah, during his work time, yeah.
Which, I don't, was that something that was in the prior movies, or was that something, I feel like that was something Burt Young was like, hey, I paint dogs now, can I paint dogs in the movie?
Yeah, I think he was just like,
I feel like that's something he asked for in like his contract, like, listen, this is the thing I do now, can I have Paulie do this, because it's kind of cool.
Well, I also think he works the night shift at a meadery plant, so he doesn't really have to do much.
Right, I got it, but like, why are you painting dogs, bro?
I don't know, it's Burt Young, who knows?
Why are you painting dogs, bro? I'm not judging you, I'm just asking, like it's such a specific thing, like, that's not something that Sylvester Stallone wrote on a script, like, that's something Burt Young does on his off time, and wanted in the movie.
So, we are at the anniversary of Adrian's death, and Rocky goes to go see his son, Robert.
Played by Milo Ventimiglia. I think I'm saying that right, but it's Jess from the Gilmore Girls, the dad from This Is Us. He did really good in this.
He did.
Because you felt bad for him, too.
Yeah, it's a very honest story, and I think we've seen it through a lot of different athletes and actors when their kids try and, like, live up to them. And there's this, like, shadow that their parents cast upon them. Not because they want to, but because that's just who they are.
Right. And like you also see Robert kind of working in like a shitty job that he hates. And Rocky sees that and he knows like his son's not happy, but he's got to like figure his own shit out. And like you see them missing each other. Like you want them to get their shit together and get on the same page, but you just keep seeing them miss each other.
Well, I also think when Adrian dies, I think Rocky kind of...
He goes on autopilot a little bit.
He definitely goes on autopilot. And I think it took him a long time with his son. And I think his son also experienced that. And like,
yeah,
he can't look at Rocky and not see his mother.
Sure.
And
vice versa.
And I think that hurt them too as well.
Yeah. But I mean, the way they get back together is also great in this movie. And it's heartwarming. And like, again, like there's a different level of schmaltz in this that in a normal movie might be considered too much, but because it's the Rocky, you know, reunion tour, essentially, because it's the Rocky wrap-up, we welcome the schmaltz. If you just let it happen to you, it's quite an experience.
Oh yeah. But again, we have to really shove home how Rocky is honestly the greatest guy in the world. There's a man who eats in his restaurant for free whenever he wants.
Oh my god. This is crazy.
Spider-Rico from the original Rocky.
Yeah, and it's the same actor, Pedro Lavelle, who in his day was also a professional boxer. And his only credits are the original Rocky and this Rocky movie, which is kind of funny. But yeah, he came back and was a pretty significant part of the movie. I was like, oh, hi.
And Rocky, like, treats him generally nice, has him eat for free at his restaurant. You know, until Spider's like, let me work, man.
The Lord wants me to work.
But we meet another returning character, Little Marie, as Rocky dubs her.
Yeah, Rocky goes into a bar, which I think is supposed to be the bar from Rocky V.
Yes, it's changed. Well, that was the bar across from Mick's Gym. That was in, like, every movie. It's changed names, apparently, from...
Oh, okay.
So they made it seem like that's why he goes in. He's like, it doesn't look familiar to him almost because...
Right.
It's basically a different bar now.
Yeah, and he's like just hanging out, looking around. He has a little beer and like the bartender starts talking to him and she's like, you used to walk me home and tell me not to smoke cigarettes and stuff. And then I called you like a creep or something and blah, blah, blah. And they reunite sort of and have this relationship where... He kind of looks out for her, like, you know, he drives her home from work that night and like some guys are harassing her and he fucking gets them to fuck off. And he meets Marie's son. Rocky kind of takes him under his wing and he helps Marie out, gets her a job at the restaurant. And like they have this relationship, which going into this movie, because I knew she was in this movie, I didn't know what it was going to be like. Overall, I think I liked it, but there were a couple of moments where I felt like they were pushing it.
Yeah, I
they were trying to almost make her a new Adrian a little bit. Not all the time, just a little bit. And I was like, whoa, Nelly.
Well, I think she even says it at one point, like, what are you doing this for, Rock? He's like, no, it's not like that.
Why are you being so nice to me? And he's like, well, you know, my wife's gone, but she's not really gone, you know. And like, it doesn't seem like it's gonna go anywhere. But then there's like just a couple of moments where like there's one point, like the night before the fight, it's the middle of the night and she goes to visit him in his hotel room and she gives him a little peck on the lips. And well, I'm like, after giving, whoa.
Well, she does give him a picture of Adrian first.
Whoa. Hold up. And then she's in the audience while he's fighting and, you know, she's basically being the Adrian character where she's like, go Rocky, get up Rocky. And I'm like, it felt like we were pushing the envelope a little bit.
I think it's more of like Rocky wants to take care of her, like, and her son. Like, I think it's more fatherly than.
Yeah, I get it. I get it a little. Yeah, mostly I get it. I feel like he needs that female presence in his life, maybe. But we're pushing it.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, we're pushing it, but maybe she loves Rocky as a person.
Right. And I think he loves her too. I don't think it's necessarily romantic love or anything, but it was mainly that one scene where she just comes to his hotel room in the middle of the night and then kisses him on the lips.
Yeah, but it's a peck. It's not.
I know. I understand. But, and then, like, it's their closeness, like, towards the end of the, like, I don't know, man. For 90% of the movie, I felt their relationship was fine. And it was nice. And it was sweet. But then there's just that little, like, 10%. I was like, what are we trying to do here? What are we trying to do? Are we trying to do an Adrian surrogate? This is not going to work out. No. No. But anyway, I do want to say Marie, the actress, did a good job. She was played by Geraldine Hughes.
Yes.
Yeah, she did well. I liked her character. She's just a single mom in Philly trying to make it and raise her kid right. And I liked that part.
Indeed. But yes, we must now get to our... what drives our fight for the end of the movie? Robert blows off Rocky and goes to a bar.
Yeah, with his bullshit fucking business guy friends who are a bunch of dickheads. And they're all, you know, it's a sports bar, so ESPN's on. And they're talking about some boxing thing. And it's just...
Yeah, so...
The premise is weird. Go ahead, Scott. It's weird. It's very, oh, we're in the 2000s and we have technology.
So there's always been the talk of like, oh, what if you put this person versus this person? What if LeBron James and Michael Jordan played one-on-one? We've done it for so many years where we've had like video game style things. Like, what if we put this person versus this person? What if Muhammad Ali fought Floyd Mayweather or stuff like that? So they do a computer simulation of what if the current heavyweight champ, Mason the Lion Dixon, fought Rocky Balboa, and in the simulation, Rocky knocks out Mason the Lion Dixon. Everyone's like cheering because it's Philadelphia, and like Rocky. Mason's camp's like, oh, that's bullshit. And then Rocky sees the replay of him knocking out Dixon in this simulation,
and he gets activated. Apparently, like he's in it to win it now, and it's like
he feels that. That's warrior spirit that's been in him that been dormant for a little while.
Yeah. It just seemed like a strange inciting incident to bring about all of the things that happened next. So Rocky watches this little snippet of ESPN and immediately is like, oh yeah, I want to fight again. And he's like, I'm going to just fight locally, like little baby fights just for fun, you know, because that's getting my face knocked in is a barrel of laughs. So he goes and he tries to get his license back. He passes all of the medical tests, which kind of invalidates everything that happened in Rocky V when they went to the hospital. It's like, if you fight again and get hit in the face, although to be fair, Rocky V invalidates Rocky V, so it's fine. But... Yeah, he's like standing before the board and they're like, yeah, you pass all the medical tests, Mr. Balboa, but the thing is, you're 60 fucking 100 years old, so like, no, but thanks for playing. And Rocky gets up to leave and I'm like, oh, is he going to do a speech? Is he going to do a Rocky speech? And of course he is.
I mean, maybe some of you guys got something you never finished, something you really want to do, something you never said to somebody, something. And you're told no, even after you pay your dues. Who's got the right to tell you that? Who? Nobody. It's your right to listen to your gut. It ain't nobody's right to say no after you earn the right to be where you want to be and do what you want to do.
He does a speech how he's like, I did everything you asked me. I only asked for you guys to be fair. Like, I did everything and passed everything. Give me my goddamn boxing license.
Don't they say pursuit of happiness in this country? Don't you go after what's happy? Why can't you let me do what I want to do to be happy? And it's like, oh my God, dude. Okay, so then they give him the fucking license. And he's like, I'm going to fight again. It makes news. And Robert is like freaked out because he's like, what the fuck? He's fighting again? Like, great. Like, not only can he get seriously hurt because he's old as fuck, but also like my fucking work friends and pretty much everybody I know is not going to stop talking about this ever. Like, it's too fucking much.
Well, he even goes to Paulie at one point and Paulie looks at him and goes, "Why do you want to do this, Rock?"
Oh, yeah. That was a good speech, like where he talks about why he really wants to do it.
And he goes, "There's still something in the basement.
Yeah.
There's still all this shit I haven't worked out."
He's got a beast inside, and he's got this empty feeling inside, and he needs to work it out.
And I think it's all the bottle up emotion with Adrian,
mm-hmm.
all the stuff with his son, all the shit about, you know,
just life passing by and, you know,
getting older and
being
shit
at the tail end. Yeah.
He's like, I have to do this. I have to get this all out.
Yeah. Then we have we have to step up the fucking camp of like this whole situation. So after this fucking little like snippet on ESPN, not only does Rocky feel compelled to get his license back so he can go fight randos at like Mickey's gym, but Mason Dixon's management are all like, we gotta jump on this now. We gotta do an exhibition fight so people think you're cool and you can get like, you know, people liking you because you can, you know, you can fight quote unquote Rocky, but like, you know, you can beat him, but also leave him his dignity so everyone will think, oh, Mason Dixon, he's got compassion. He's got personality, blah, blah, blah. And they're giving him this whole pitch and Mason's just like, I don't want to beat up some old guy. Like, that doesn't really appeal to me. And they're like, no, 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 you're going to do it. So then these two like smarmy fucking like greaseball fucking manager guys go to Adrian's restaurant and talk to Rocky, and they convince him to do this exhibition fight in Vegas, which, like, you know, if I had a friend that fucking died in Vegas during a fight with someone who was physically outmatched to him, I would think twice before I'm like, my best friend died in an exhibition fight in Vegas fighting someone he shouldn't have fought. Maybe I shouldn't do that. But no, no, no. Fuck it. We're doing it. We're going. Exhibition. Yeah, cool. Cool, man.
And while this is all going on, Robert comes up and gets Rocky and goes,
oh, yeah. Oh, God, this is good.
What are you doing? Do you know, like, what you're doing to me? You're fucking hurting me, basically, by doing all of this.
Yeah. Rocky has a great speech here that I feel like everybody knows about at this point. Because it's, like, the main thing that is talked about in this movie.
You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Ooh, baby. I love this scene because, like, yeah, that speech is dope. But also, like, just in the argument between father and son, it's like you understand where they're both coming from. And again, you just want them to, like, get on the same page. But clearly that speech kind of hits Robert in a way because Rocky leaves. And as he leaves, he's like, make sure you visit your mother. And he leaves and he walks back in the restaurant. And then the next scene, you see Rocky the next day sitting in Adrian's grave. And up comes Robert. And he's like, yeah, you were right. I hate my fucking job. I can't do this shit anymore. You know, and he quit his job. And maybe it's the millennial in me. But I like the idea of, like, Robert not knowing exactly what he's going to do now that he quit his job. And he doesn't know what he's going to do with his life. But he knows that right now he needs to be with his dad and help his dad. And the rest of the shit he's going to figure out. You know, I like that idea. I like the idea that this guy is not, he doesn't know what's going to happen next. And he doesn't necessarily need to know. He knows where he needs to be right now. And I like that. And they have a really great reunion at Adrian's grave, which I'm sure she loved. So that made me happy. And yeah, now we're going to get ready for the fucking fight.
We get a press conference.
Oh, shit.
And Dixon is playing the Apollo role. It's all a joke.
He's trying so hard to be Apollo, but like he could never.
He's not as charismatic as Apollo.
No, of course not. But like, you know, they're trying to be nice at first, but then like the reporters ask some like bullshit question and he gets all offended and he's like, I'll see you at the fight, Rocky.
It's funny because Rocky doesn't say a fucking word in this
No, he really
scene.
Doesn't. Fucking Paulie says something and even Duke says something. The fucking Duke shows up. I was like, girl, hey.
Yeah, Duke shows up. And
Duke with his bristly ass mustache.
Then we go into our training montage.
Yes, with Gonna Fly Now. Thank fucking God.
With Gonna Fly Now. And Duke...
I love Duke's part in this.
Duke has a great fucking speech.
He's so funny. He's just like, you can't do shit, Rock. You're slow as fuck.
To beat this guy, you need speed. We don't got that. You have calcium deposits in both your knees, so hard running's out.
Nope.
So what we need to do is build strength. We need to do it so every time you hit him, his ancestors feel it.
Oh my God. It was just so funny. Like, Duke's delivery, great.
And we finally get to him running up the steps.
Yeah, which I read that they saved that particular part, like filming it, till the last day, like the last shot of the movie, because Stallone like knew it was going to be particularly emotional. And I liked that. Like, I like the idea of him running up those steps like as his last hurrah as Rocky. Like, that's a nice thought.
It is. And now we go to Las Vegas.
Oh, God.
And we get the weigh-in. And Stallone is 217 of pure muscle. And Dixon is 221. And all the announcers are saying, Dixon's coming in a little schlubby for...
schlubby. Although I will say at the weigh-in, I was like, damn. Rocky looks like he could fucking kill this guy.
Well, again, Rocky...
he's old as shit, but like...
He's a tank. But that's the thing. They were like, Dixon wasn't taking Rocky seriously.
Right, yeah.
He, just like Apollo, didn't take Rocky seriously. Right.
We have like the last minute moment with Paulie before Rocky goes out there, and he's like, make sure you get those beasts out of you, Rock. I love you, man. And I was like, God damn it. Stop giving us last minute nice things with Paulie. We're supposed to hate him, damn it. But then we get Rocky coming out to Sinatra, which was great.
High hopes, baby. High hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky. And Paulie goes, I like Sinatra.
Sinatra's good.
Oh, God. So he comes out. He's like waving to the fans. Even like Max Kellerman, who's like still an ESPN host to this day, he was like, I never thought I would call a Rocky Balboa fight. This is fucking nuts. I'm fucking a fan.
Ooh, speaking of like ESPN people.
Yes.
Because I know enough. I don't know like all the fucking people, obviously. But I know enough about ESPN people to know that Skip Bayless is an asshole. And they had Skip Bayless on there in this movie predicting that Rocky would get fucked up. And I was like, of course they had Skip Bayless in there. Well, yeah, that's hilarious.
Skip goes, Rocky Balboa is overrated.
He's going to get fucking killed. I'm like, this is great. It made me feel like a real sports fan. I knew who that guy was, and I was like, ooh, that guy.
And then Dixon comes out to a 3-6 Mafia, which it just shows the dichotomy between these two.
Yeah, true, true. But Rocky's got the whole gang. He's got fucking Marie in the audience. He's got Marie's son, Steps. He's got his son. He's got Paulie. He's got Duke. I think that's it, right?
That's it. That's his crew.
No, he's got Spider, too. Spider's
oh, and Spider's there, yes.
So they're all you know, the fucking Rat Pack with these two youngsters are out there. It was kind of funny. But yeah, one thing I liked about the beginning of this fight, because like, at least for the first couple of rounds, they show it like it looks like a real pay-per-view fight. They have like the timer in the bottom right. Just like the clarity of the picture, even it comes off like a real pay-per-view fucking fight that we're watching like modern time. It's like cool.
Oh yeah, and Dixon controls this fight early on because he is faster. He's faster. He's taller. He's got better reach. So he's jabbing Rocky, just like keeping Rocky like back enough where Rocky's like not doing a lot of damage. But every time Rocky does get a hit on him, he fucking rocks this guy.
Yeah. Like, but you expect Rocky to get his ass beat in the beginning because that's just kind of his MO. Like, he gets fucked up in the beginning, but he always comes back. But yeah, like, this was the point. Like, when we were in the fight, I think I was talking about Antonio Tarver. I'm like, well, this is like good for him because, like, you know, as a professional boxer, I assume, like, you got to have some kind of ego. And, like, it's cool, like, he would do a movie knowing he's gonna lose. Like, that's pretty cool, blah blah blah. And I'm just talking casual as fuck, and Scott's not really responding. So I'm like, what, does he not lose? Like, they're not going to have... It's the last Rocky movie. They're not going to have Rocky fucking lose. That's the craziest thing I've ever fucking heard in my life. What the fuck are you talking about? And he's, like, dead silent, Scott. And I'm like, what? Okay, fuck you. I feel like you're fucking with my head. I'm just watching the fight. Because I, at this point, think Scott's fucking with me. But also, I want to mention, like, in the, before the fight starts, they show, like, their stats. And Rocky has, like, you know, 30-something wins, 50-something, whatever.
So Rocky has 57 wins, 23 losses, one draw, and 53 knockouts.
Right. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, what's the one draw? And I'm like, oh, duh, the first fucking movie with fucking Apollo. I'm like, you dumbass.
I have a very vivid memory of seeing this in theaters with my father. Hal Eisenberg, shout out to Hal Eisenberg.
Woo.
And as we're sitting there, my father looks at me and goes, what's the one draw? I'm like, Apollo. He's like, oh, yeah.
God damn it.
So you're not the only one.
I did it too, Hal. It's okay. So the fight's going on, and they get rid of the looking like a legitimate pay-per-view fight, and then they, you know, make it more cinematic. They got, like, the different color grading, and it's, like, you know, it's looking really cool and dramatic and shit, and they're really going at it with each other.
Well,
yeah. And then at one point, Rocky keeps getting his ass beat, and he's just like, no, 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 keep going, keep going. And Tarver is looking at the ref like, why aren't we stopping this? This old fuck... He's getting shit on.
And then Rocky unloads.
Right. And then, yeah, that's when it really gets going.
And then Tarver breaks his hand. And from that point on, it's a very even fight. The two are beating the living snot out of each other for 10 rounds.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. But, I slowly came to the realization of what was going to happen. Like, towards the end, I'm like... All right, fine, whatever, I get it, because it's like Apollo, like, blah, blah, blah. He lost the first Apollo fight, but he wasn't about winning. It was about just staying in the fight, whatever.
Well, again, it was more about, like, again, he's not going to be the champ. It's an exhibition fight, and the two of them beat the living hell out of each other, and it gives Dixon a real fight to prove, you know, himself. Rocky gets all of his demons worked out.
Yeah, and he's got his son there supporting him, like, by his side. I was like, oh, this is nice.
There's a moment, too, where Dixon, like, knocks him silly, and then Rocky's like...
Oh, he's got, like, the inner monologue.
You gotta stand up. You gotta stand up.
What'd you tell the kid? You gotta keep moving forward.
And then, like... And then he hears Mickey's voice, run through this motherfucker!
God damn it! Like, let Mickey go! God!
But he stands up, and the look on his face, and Dixon's like... This motherfucker, like, God damn it.
You're a crazy old man. He literally tells him that. I'm like, yep, he kind of is, though.
And Rocky goes, you'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
And Rocky leaves. Rocky just
doesn't... Well, the fight ends, and then it goes to decision, and then basically 2-1, he ends up losing. But it's, like, super-duper close. But it wasn't about winning. It was about staying in there and proving yourself the people's champ. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, fuck off. It's his last movie. Like, come on. Like, whatever.
He didn't need to win. But
Yeah. Okay.
It ends with...
Oh, no. We're going to talk about it.
Rocky is back in Philly, back at Adrian's grave.
He goes to her grave and he brings roses. And I said, if he says to Adrian, yo, Adrian, we did it, I'm going to actually die. And sure enough, he's like leaning and kneeling in her grave, and he goes, yo, Adrian, we did it. And something quite insane happened. I literally just burst into tears. Like, not like a little lonely, like, ooh, sad, like, oh, a little drifting no, like, like,
my emotion,
oh my god, this movie's got me sobbing. I'm like losing my shit.
I have, of all the
Scott's laughing at me.
Of all the movies we've watched, I have only seen Frankie.
I have not cried at any of these movies, have I?
Not any of these, but of all the movies we've watched in the 5 years of Shoot the Flick, there's only a handful.
Yeah, that have got me, like, crying. And now this is one of them. I'm literally crying. And at one point, I look at Scott and be like, shut up. He said, Adrian, we did it. It was so cute. And it was just because you felt it, man. Like, Adrian, even when Adrian is dead, she's the heart of the fucking Rocky movies, man. It's so wild.
Well, she's Rocky's heart.
It killed me, though. It really did. I was so... I swear to God, because when we... Before we watched this movie, I was like, all right, like, you know, this is going to be, like, a nice little, like, clip show, basically, of Rocky movies. Like, this will be fun. And, like, no. Like, it emotionally devastated me. Like, that was not on my bingo card, man. No, fuck that. And then I'm like, okay, this Rocky movie made me sob. How is it not nominated for anything? How did Rocky not get nominated? This is some bullshit.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Bullshit, I tell you. But yeah, I did. Rocky Balboa made me cry. I'm not ashamed to admit it. God damn it, I was emotionally moved.
Hey, and that's what you want in a great performance.
The schmaltz took hold.
It did.
It got me, man.
Yep, and that's Rocky Balboa, and during the credits we get a bunch of people running up the steps.
Yes, that was very cute. And also, I just need to reiterate that as Rocky is walking away from Adrian's grave, he disappears. He fades away. His whole ass body fades away. So, like, I just want to know what Sly, what his intention was with that. Like, were you intending to be like, well, that's the story? Or were you intending to tell the audience, like, okay, Rocky can die now because he won that last fight and now he's gonna go and die and be with Adrian? Like, what are you trying to tell us, Sly?
I think he was trying to tell us that he was done with his story. Rocky's story is done.
But why? You could have just faded to black. Like, why did you have to fade Rocky specifically?
Because I think it was just a dumb thing to do.
But, like, what does it mean? What does it mean, Scott?
I think you're reading too much into it, dear.
No, I'm not. People don't just disappear, Scott. It's not a thing people
Rocky
do.
Was raptured. How about that?
Adrian raptured his ass. Like, Rocky, are you telling me you went to do an exhibition fight in Vegas?
Yes,
and you're 100 years old?
Yes.
Come back over here to the afterlife so I can beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, she's yelling at him in heaven.
Literally, though.
But our last shot of the movie after the credits roll is Rocky standing on top of the Philadelphia steps.
Yeah.
Staring out at Philadelphia.
I gotta say, like, it's a great ending to the franchise, man. It really is. It's funny because I think you saw something, right? Like, someone was trying to recast Rocky, like, today.
Yes. I'll give him a shout out real quick. Cause...
Sure, but, like, in reality... In the real world, man, okay? In my eyes, like, Rocky, now that I've watched all the movies and I've seen the light, you know, I've been enlightened. If they ever try to remake Rocky, bro, that, like, that's insane.
Oh, yeah, it's a crazy
idea. That's sacrilege. That's probably why they did Creed instead, at least part of the reason, because they can't remake Rocky.
Yeah.
Who the fuck could be Rocky, first of all?
I don't know if anybody could.
Literally who?
Legitimately.
like, it's insane.
Their podcast is called Cast a Role.
And, Cast a Role?
Yes.
Okay.
And they did the original Rocky.
Cool.
And, you know, they had some interesting ideas. Did not like their Rocky, but again... Rocky seems like almost an impossible role to cast
really
in today's Hollywood.
Because you were trying to figure out a person, and even your people I didn't like. You said, like, Wyatt Russell, maybe, or, like... And I was like, no, that doesn't work either. It has to be an Italian stallion.
Well, yes, he should be Italian.
Well, the problem is that when Stallone first did Rocky, he was virtually an unknown.
Yes.
So you would need someone unknown. You would.
Well, not only that, but, like... Rocky's an odd-looking fellow. Stallone's not, like, a gorgeous man.
He's not traditionally handsome. Just like I say sometimes with actresses that aren't traditionally, like, model pretty. But they're still beautiful. It's kind of a similar thing with Stallone, where, like, he's not, like, a supermodel type handsome guy in, like, a magazine. But
no.
he's a good-looking guy.
He's good-looking, but...
And he's very fit, obviously.
But also...
But you'd have to have a very specific type of...
Yeah.
Person to do that role.
But also, Rocky is a guy who has been fights in the first Rocky for like 12 years. So he's been beaten up for like 12 years of just being smacked around. And
well, yeah.
Like, he can't... I don't feel like Rocky can be handsome. And that,
sure.
And that's the thing. That was
but that's not like necessarily a problem. No. You can find someone that's not traditionally handsome to play the role. The problem is, A, it has to be an unknown. Not just because the original Rocky Stallone was an unknown, but also because Rocky is so married to Sylvester Stallone. Like, you can't separate those two. So you need to find someone fresh-faced that people can have a clean slate with. It's almost kind of like, I mean, at least how I feel about Back to the Future. Like, if they ever remade Back to the Future, which I've mentioned, it's like my favorite movie of all time. Marty McFly is so married to Michael J. Fox that you need to... I feel like it shouldn't be remade at all.
Well, no, I think...
And neither should Rocky, but if you were gonna do it, it would be incredibly difficult to find someone that...
Well, yeah.
...fits that mold.
Oh, I think it's impossible, but I think that's why Rocky did the right thing and went with Creed.
Yes, I think so, too. Because Michael B. Jordan is the shit. I mean, I haven't seen those movies, but now I'm looking even more forward to seeing them. Well, I'm sure we'll cover them maybe next season on Shoot the Flick.
Yes.
But, yeah.
But I think it's also... It's the right decision because, you know what, let's pass along the torch.
Right, exactly.
And it's Stallone passes the torch to
Again,
Michael
another
B. Jordan.
Legacy sequel on top of this legacy sequel, sort of.
Yeah,
but,
kind of.
Yeah, like,
but it's also a spinoff, kind
right,
of.
Right, exactly. Like, it works. I think I just read something that Creed 4 is happening.
Yeah, it won't shock me.
So, I mean, I'd be down.
But you also, when you talk about, like, Back to the Future, like, if you were going to do that... Like, I don't think it can be remade. I think you have to do something where it's like the DeLorean shows up somewhere and someone new has the DeLorean.
Right. Well, actually, yeah, that's, yeah.
I that's the only way I think you would ever touch Back to the Future again.
Right.
Like, I don't want to see a different Marty. I don't want to see a different Doc.
This is kind of going on a tangent now, but it's fine. Like,
it's our show.
When we've talked about remakes and stuff before, obviously Hollywood is very much a remake / sequel culture now because nostalgia is a thing, right? It's a very powerful drug, nostalgia. But I think remakes should be a situation where, like, you take a property from the past that is a cool idea but maybe wasn't executed well and revamp it and bring it to today, sort of like how they're making the Highlander movie, like a new version with, I think it was supposed to be Henry Cavill, but I think now it's going to be Chris Hemsworth, which I'm fucking excited about that because I love Highlander. We actually covered Highlander on the show. I love that movie. But yeah, it's like a movie that maybe wasn't executed the best and like could do with a reboot of sorts. But yeah, I feel like you can't, there are certain things, like, what do you need to reboot it for when you have the original? Like, I feel like Rocky is timeless in a lot of ways. Like, yes, there's 80s cheese galore. Even 90s cheese when you get to 5. But yeah, like, it's still, there's still a timelessness about it because it's like a tale as old as time. It's like a warrior's journey trying to figure out his shit. And like, I love that.
Yeah, and again, Rocky is the people's champ. You feel him as the fan.
Then he should have won the last fight. Sorry. I know, I'm kidding. It's fine, whatever. Fine with it.
He's a 60-year-old fighting a 30-year-old.
Yeah, I fucking get it, okay? Whatever. Shut up. God. This whole fight started because of a fucking computer game, and we're like really finicky about like, well, the 60-year-old can't actually beat the 30-year-old, but we can have a whole fucking fight in Vegas based solely on some bullshit computer program. Okay.
They've had weirder things happen for computer programs.
Oh, God. Anyway, whatever.
Anyway, Frankie, what did you rate Rocky Balboa?
So again, something I did not see coming on my bingo card. I gave it the same rating that I gave to the original Rocky. I gave it 4.5 out of 5 stars. Because despite the schmaltz, I really loved it. And I can't deny the fact that it moved me so much that I was in tears. In a puddle, some might say. Because of this movie.
So I also gave Rocky 4.5. I think Rocky is the quintessential Stallone character. I think we always have those arguments with like actors, like, oh, what's that role? What's their role? And as much as like everyone's like, oh, it's Rocky or Rambo. Rambo's good, but I always think Rocky is and will forever be the role that defines Sylvester Stallone. And I love Rocky. I've loved every one of these movies for different periods of time. I'm even, after rewatching Rocky V, I feel Rocky V a lot more than I ever did. Rocky Balboa is just a wonderful way to wrap up Rocky's story. And even if we never got the Creeds, Rocky's story was wrapped up well. And this is one of the better six movie franchises that exist.
Yeah, that's not a particularly long list, but yes, I would say that despite it, the good and bad things about it, there is a mixed bag. I think the good dramatically outweighs the bad. Because even in the bad, there are good things to be experienced.
Indeed, there is.
So, that's it for the Rocky franchise, which is, again, like, kind of a bummer. Like, it's really, like, I'm sad about it, but... Now, we are going to take a break from Rocky for the rest of the season, and we will pick back up with it again. We got three movies to cover in the Creed franchise, so we're definitely going to cover that because I haven't seen any of those. But we will be taking a break next week to recover, and I will be picking up the month of May. Since Scott took over the month of April, I will be taking over the month of May, and we will be starting the month of May with our Mother's Day episode.
Ah.
Which means, guys, don't worry, your prayers have been answered. Jen Sparks is coming back.
Oh my God.
She's coming back, guys. It's gonna be great.
Here we go.
We haven't figured out exactly what movie we're gonna do yet. I have some thoughts, but we will be back with our Mother's Day episode, and it's gonna be grand.
Indeed.
So until then, this has been Shoot the Flick. I'm Frankie Sparks.
And I'm Scott Eisenberg.
Make sure you check us out on Instagram and Twitter at Shoot the Flick, and check out all of our episodes on iTunes, Spotify, and iHeartRadio, and pretty much anywhere else you can find a podcast. And make sure you come back in a couple of weeks for our lovely maternalist fuck movie adventure.
You gotta keep moving forward, everybody. Keep doing it.
You can't fight the Martians, Rock. You're 60 years old.